The great Rick Mercer joins us. How are you, Rick?
I'm excellent. How are you?
We're okay. It's a little chilly. We lost our captain. Mark Giordano's out for the year. So
very
we're a little down in the mouth.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for your trouble.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, it's hockey.
We don't put much stock in it, but we are.
No. You don't spend much time thinking about that kind of stuff.
So I get an email. Apparently, you must be just tired, exhausted of winning awards, because every time you turn around, someone's handing you a trophy. You're doing an acceptance speech. Three Canadian Screen Awards last week.
This is Canadian show business. You go to a Canadian Screen Award. You go to a Canadian Show Business Award. Half the people who are nominated are out of work or looking for work. So if you have a job, you've already won. That's the most important thing. That's all I care about. Every day I wake up and go, thank God I'm working. And that's not being facetious, because, like, literally, that's the way show business is. So, but it's nice to get some statues. And you know what? We went to an award show. It wasn't on television, so people didn't blather on thanking people that weren't there. Otherwise, they'd get heckled or booed.
Yeah.
And all of my writers and myself, we were sitting at a table, and they're all, you know, new dads. So they had a night out, and there was lots of cheap, free wine. So they had a really good time.
Yeah, everyone's a winner, regardless.
Everyone's
then.
A winner.
You win Best Comedy Program. I don't want to focus too much on these awards necessarily. But
no, please, you can focus
okay,
on my
fair
awards.
Enough, fair enough.
No, go on, whatever, go on.
Well, I had to, because it's like, no, the Mercer Report, 2003 is when this started?
I guess, well, 12 years. I'm not good at math. Yeah.
So to be a dozen years in, it's still fresh, it's still funny, and it's still being recognized. That's fantastic.
Well, you know what? We stumbled on something. Year two or three, I started getting really paranoid. I was thinking, this show is working. The numbers are huge. It's you know, people are liking it. I mean, nothing. I mean, that's like hitting the Holy Grail. But I was very paranoid. I thought, we're just going to run out. Any minute, we're just going to run out of things to do. And then I realized that's not going to happen. I mean, tonight, you're a sports channel. Like, tonight on the show, I go to Quebec and play kinball. Have you heard of kinball?
No.
Eh? Kinball, K-I-N ball,
right.
Kinball. It is a made in Canada sport. I mean, Quebec is so talk about a distinct society.
Yeah.
So some guy there decided he invented a game for the kids in his like elementary school, and then it started spreading to other elementary schools, and now it's in every elementary school in Quebec. And because it's been there for like 12 or 14 years, it's now playing in high schools, and there's leagues all over the province. You go into the gym, there's like fans are cheering. There's a full tournament going on. You look at the gym and you go, okay, there's a sport being played here. But you watch it and you go, I have no idea what's going on. Okay, there's three teams on the court.
Three?
Three.
Okay.
Three. I know. And I'm not a sports guy, but I thought, that can't be, you know, that must be rare. Well, I looked into it. There's no other sport in the world where three teams are on the court at the same time.
Yeah.
So there's three teams, four people, and the ball is 4 feet in diameter.
Yeah, we're looking at some pics right now.
Yeah, you're looking at it online now, and you're going, look at that.
Yeah, yeah. And what do they do with this? It's just a huge ball, inflatable ball. And then how do you win?
Ball. So there's three teams. I'll try to, look, I mean, once you get in play, it all makes sense. But describing it's a bit tricky. But so there's three teams, and they're colors. So say they're red, blue, and black, and there's four each. And so say red has the ball, three members of red are holding the ball, and then the fourth guy runs at the ball, and he has all sorts of different ways to either shoot it at the ceiling or shoot it left, right, you know, wherever, like to shoot that ball far away. But before he hits the ball, he has to call one of the other teams. And when he yells that team, he yells black or whatever, then the black team can't let that ball hit the ground, and the other team falls back.
They're catching pop flies.
Yeah, like that. Exactly. Yeah. They do all sorts of wild stuff. I mean, the older guys, they like, you know, they do everything possible for that ball not to hit the ground.
Yeah.
And so it's great fun. But it's so weird. You know what it reminded me of? When I was a kid watching Battlestar Galactica, and then they would like suddenly cut to them like playing a sport. They were like running around in like a racquetball court, but trying to put a ball in a hole. And it was like, I remember as a kid thinking, oh, this is like weird. This is what they'll play in the future, I guess, when we're all in space. That's what it was like. It was like being dropped onto another planet.
Yeah. Now, something like that, you like you say, when you get into it, it's like, we may run out of things to do. Has that been the case? Because it's so well known now. The show is an institution in Canada. I would think you must still be flooded with people wanting you to come to their town or school or wherever it be to get on your show.
Yeah, and that's important because we don't have eyes and ears everywhere. And especially, you know, one of the problems and also one of the great things about the show is we shoot a lot in the winter. So there's a lot of winter events. So unfortunately, I mean, I went into show business so I could be indoors, not outdoors, but I won't quibble with that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of, you know, a month ago I was in like in a town I'd never heard of in the mountains of British Columbia where they have literally, and this is the thing they do normally, like they have this giant, another giant ball, like 3 feet that's filled with kitty litter. So it's like a giant medicine ball. And then they line up people as bowling pins, and you're not allowed to move, and then they do human bowling down a hill. Tonight on the show, I'm in Ravenhurst, and they're like, do you want to do the puddle jump? And I'm like, what's the puddle jump? And they're like, oh, you go through a puddle on a skidoo. And I was like, okay, I can do that. So I get down there, and they've cut a hole in the ice on a lake. Like it's 30 below on a lake. It's 8 feet wide by 150 feet. And then I'm supposed to get on the skidoo and hit that open water and go 150 feet to make it to the other side.
How'd you do?
I didn't make it that far.
We got to watch.
Brutal. And you know what else? You wouldn't believe the number of events I've done where before I show up, they say, sign the waiver. And then once I get there, you know, St. John Ambulance is like standing by, right? This one, no waiver, no St. John Ambulance. I'm in the middle of a lake, giant hole, skidoo.
What could go wrong? Has there been anything that you wouldn't do?
Yeah. I didn't want to stand on the back of a horse. There's people that stand on the back of horses in this country, and then the horses go around barrels, and like they invite me out. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And then they start getting insulted. They're like, why? You do everything else. I'm like, I'm afraid. They're like, what are you afraid of? And I'm like, I'm afraid that I'll become a quadriplegic. I don't want to. I mean, I can't envision standing on the back of the horse without envisioning landing on my head. Like, it just seems too dangerous to me. And plus, I don't have I'm lousy at a skateboard. Were you going to put me on the back of a horse? And they're like, geez, you jumped out of a plane. Well, I was tied to a soldier. He knew what I was doing.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, totally. But of course, this is their passion and their love. And they're like, wow, like, we're really insulted. I'm like, don't be insulted. I'm just afraid to stand on a horse. And that's not a bad thing.
You're going to put this story together. So you go to a town, you're taking part in their event, and it's got to be going through your head. Okay, in post-production, when we put this together, that'll be a good shot, or we need to do this or that. Have you ever been on at an event or whatever the case may be, and you're thinking in your head, there's nothing to this. There's going to be nothing to put on television because this is dull or boring, or there's absolutely no substance to it.
You know what? There's been some times where I've been super surprised because, of course, you know what? It's like going to a winter carnival or something. It's all about, and I don't want to sound cliche, but it's all about the community and the people and what. Like, if you're worried that the event is not, you know, there's not enough action or adventure or you know, physical comedy, what you got to do is you got to go start mining, and you got to start mining for interesting people. And some of the best interviews I've ever done, I mean, I went oyster fishing one time, and that part was interesting to tell people how you go oyster fishing and to try it out. But, like, sitting in the boat with the fisherman was like one of my favorite interviews ever, just because he had a completely unique perspective and he was really funny. And so it worked out on that level. And that's what you got to look for.
You know, what's funny about your show, like you think of Jerry D, he's got his show Perfect World. Wouldn't it be great if some U.S. network picked it up and it was simulcast or whatever? The Rick Mercer Report is never getting picked up by an American network. It is so Canadian,
never.
And only we
never,
get
never,
it.
Never, never.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have a sitcom years ago, and we did 65 episodes. It was called Made in Canada, and it did very well in Canada, and it was sold around the world. And so it was on in the States on PBS, and it was on in, you know, like a couple of dozen other countries. That's a different game because you cannot help, as much as you say, well, Canada's our primary market, you cannot help but be... you know, cognizant of those foreign markets. And you know that, like, if it really takes off in some of those markets, you can do very well. And you can't help but starting to change the Canadianism sometimes, you know. And then once money starts coming in from other markets, there are distributors who are saying, oh, did you say cabin? You're going to the cabin?
Yeah.
You're going to say you're going to the cabin? Like, people don't use the word cabin in the States. They use the word cottage only. So if you say cabin, or they'll say, could you change it to camp? I'm like, well, I wouldn't say that. And you get caught up in that kind of business. So the Mercer Report is so Canadian, no one would ever even consider buying it.
And that's part of the charm.
Well, we won an award one time. Speaking of all the awards, we won this award called the Rose D'Or, and the Rose D'Or is it means nothing to anyone outside of television, but it's a European award, and some great comedies have won this award, and I like Absolutely Fabulous and stuff like that, and we were amazed that the Mercer Report won this award, and what happens when you win this award is, companies from around the world immediately contact you and they say, we want to buy your format so we can do our version of your show. And, you know, in TV, you can make money at that, selling your format. So when we won this award, we were like thrilled, and suddenly all these countries were calling. And then they looked at the show and they all said the same thing. They were like, what kind of show is this? Like, so in this episode, the guest is the Prime Minister of Canada. And we go, yeah. And then they go, but then the next week, the guest is a rock star? We go, yeah. And then the next week, it's a fisherman? And then what are you doing with all these soldiers? They're like, it makes no sense. Is it about popular music? Is it about politics? Is it about fishermen? Like, you can't do all that in a show. And then they're like, and you're doing actual commentary about politics, and then you're doing sketches. Like, how does this even work? And they all just thought we were crazy. But it works.
Yeah. Actually, you'd be surprised how well it works. We've been doing it since 2003.
It's been
a pretty good run.
There you go. But, you know, I actually got a kick out of the fact that they couldn't figure out how a show like that would work.
Yeah.
I mean, I was sad that I never got to see a German version of the Mercer Report just to see what it would look like. But
so who's been the best, like, you know, a good sport? Somebody, whether it was a politician or somebody. Because didn't you go ziplining here with Jan Arden and our mayor?
Oh, yeah. And actually, I've got a date planned with Nancy fairly soon. He's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks. Jan Arden, of course, is a tremendous sport. She always is.
Yeah. So who's been...
I've had her rock climbing. I've had her dangling off the CN Tower. I've taken her paintballing over the years. Like, she's a great sport. Rick Hansen is a great sport because he doesn't like heights, and I pushed him off a bridge. He was tied to a bungee cord, but, you know, for a guy who doesn't like heights, that's a pretty good sport.
Yeah. Who is not down with it?
You know what? I think most people, if they're going to come on the show, they're down with it. But I'm proud of the fact that anytime I'm interviewing anyone, I can tell them. I said, look, you know, in 12 years, no one's ever regretted it. No one's ever called me up and said, why did you allow me to say that on television? Or why did you make me, you know, why did you embarrass me? I mean, if anything happens that would be embarrassing, I wouldn't put it on television. And that's just kind of the show it is. I mean, someone else might have another show that's different, which is fine. But, you know, I always look out for the guest. And so far, no one's ever regretted it. So people, and I think after a number of years, there's a trust built in. Like, and so if I tell someone, no, if you do this, it'll be fine, I think they kind of trust me, which is, you know, great. And
sure,
it makes my job easier because I don't have to spend a lot of time convincing someone to actually do it.
Talking to Americans, I mean, I loved that. It was hilarious. Did you ever cross the line with anyone there? I mean, you wouldn't cross the line, but were people ever upset with you when you were down in the States?
Well, when I did Talking to Americans, it was a fluke, of course. It was one of those things. I did it on 22 Minutes, and it was just a segment that turned into, you know, a hit segment. And I remember the first time I did it, it was just a total fluke. I was in Washington to do something else and it didn't work. And then I just decided to do Streeters, interview people on the street. And that's a notoriously awful job, right?
Yeah.
Trying to get, and so I thought I'll just lie to them and just make up outrageous stuff. And then we put it on TV and it was a big hit. My father never, ever commented on anything I ever did at that point in comedy, ever. And he called me up and he said, I watched the show last night. And I said, yeah. He said, that Talking to Americans. And everyone was raving about Talking to Americans. They loved it. And people were like, you got to do more. You got to do more. My father said, I saw this Talking to Americans you did last night. And I said, yes. And he said, promise me something, son. I said, what? He said, promise me you will never, ever do that ever again. And then it's all I did for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
Every week. Welcome back to another edition of.
Yeah. Thanks for the support, Dad.
He just thought it was that is disgraceful.
Yeah, you have my word.
Disgraceful thing to do to people.
Yeah, we'll never do it again. Hey,
but that was before YouTube, and believe it or not, it was before YouTube. So in my mind, I always thought, you know what, I'm down here, I'm pulling these fast ones on everyone, but they're never going to know. It's going to be on the CBC.
Yeah.
These Harvard professors are never going to know. These governors are never going to know. And for years, they didn't know. And now they all know, of course.
It's an amazing career that you've put together. And like I say, anything that lasts as long as this has, and it keeps getting better, and it's still relevant, and people want to be on it. It's one of those things, I think. I don't know if there's anything else in Canada like it. Hockey Night in Canada.
Very much. You know what? I just like doing it, and it's a pretty unapologetically Canadian experience.
Good on you, Rick. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you
so much. Real treat to talk to you.
Tune in tonight, 8 o'clock.
We got it.
Puddle jump, skidoos, water, ice, axes, all that good stuff.
Thanks, Rick.
I didn't mention the axes. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now. Here's Rick Mercer.